Well, good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. Dennis is in the big chair. There he is.
Okay, here I am.
You got to push that button, Dennis.
I did. Well, yeah, there's an issue with it, as you know. So
yeah, it doesn't light up.
Right.
So we're here. I'm not there. Dennis is driving the bus. In the big chair. And I'm in an undisclosed location doing the program remotely. But we're glad to be here on this lovely Saturday morning. And we also have a segment that we're going to bring up that's kind of going to be kind of fun, we think. It's our AI corner with Karen and Bob. So we'll have that at the beginning of the second hour. Karen and Bob will tackle a topic that each of us, Dennis and I, have picked up that we think is interesting. And we'll see how Karen and Bob, the AI podcasters of Notebook LM, handle the topic. So that should be fun.
Yeah, it should be. I'm looking forward to it.
So as usual and customary, Dennis, we have some news people can use. Did you want to bring anything you want to start
I
with?
I do. I have a pretty big story. There is a crook who has been making millions of dollars breaking into the Microsoft 365 mailboxes of executives. And this is not, it's business email compromise, which is actually a big business, but in itself. But this is not a normal case where somebody, injects themselves into a conversation and gets somebody to wire money to somewhere. This is the guy is actually collecting reports that are often in draft format, you know, early financial reports for the companies they're with, and then selling them to people that will then use them for insider trading, essentially, because they're using inside information from
it's
the company.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's all it is. And it's very hard to detect that kind of activity because all he's doing is reading information. He's not, there's no activity that he's generating in these mailboxes that would tip somebody off.
Fact that they were tipped off, they finally figured it out, is interesting.
Yeah, they did. And it took some detective work and it took a while to get exposed. But usually when somebody's mailbox is compromised, the crook is going to do something that will cause somebody to start looking and say, why did that happen? And it just took a lot longer for that to happen in this case.
Well, I'm reading the story. I mean, it looks like he himself also is making some money on put options.
Yes.
So that must have been where they figured it out. How's this guy keep doing so well? So email compromise. If people break into your Microsoft 365 account, what he was doing was simply going in and then doing a password reset, and then forwarding email that he was, of course, for the chief financial officer of these big companies to send their email that they're reading a copy to him.
Right.
It's just a forwarding rule. And this happens often in business email compromise.
As a matter of fact, Microsoft has guidance for how to deal with compromised accounts. And one of the big clues that you've got a compromise is a forwarding rule or a filtering rule or something of that nature that gets added to the mailbox that wouldn't normally be there if the person was handling their own mail. A very common scenario is a filter that anybody that's in your contact list, their emails to you get filtered to a different folder and then marked as red so that you don't see them. Because very often what will happen is the scammer will send out emails to your contacts and somebody might say, that looks a little funny. Did you mean to send that? They'll hit reply, ask that question, and then they get sent back to the originating mailbox. Well, with that filter in place, you're not going to see that. So you're not going to see people asking you, hey, you sent this. What did you mean? What is this about? And that's usually the number one sign of a compromise, at least in my experience.
And you may ask yourself, why do they have these configurations in your email box in the first place, right? And that's a good question, really. You know, why would these companies have these filters? Why would Microsoft build in the ability for people to do this kind of obfuscation? And it's basically because businesses have the right to read your email.
Well, that too.
So if you work for a company, you know, and they want to have some sort of monitoring on you as an employee, how you're responding to customers, how you're, you know, handling issues, if the company feels that you might be doing something untoward, they can, you know, put these types of filters on your account and you wouldn't even know it.
Yeah.
And that's really what these bad guys are leveraging. Because if Microsoft wanted to prevent this, they would simply make sure it's requirement to alert the email box holder of these rules that are being in place. Like, hey, like when your credit card, you buy something with a Discover card, it tells you, hey, you spent $20 on a rotisserie chicken. You know, they tell you that. You know, here in Microsoft's world, they obfuscate that. So you as the account holder don't know what's going on in the background.
As a matter of fact, with the most basic level of Microsoft's services, you don't even get audit reports that tell you when these changes are made. Even if you wanted to go back and look historically at, you know, when was this filter put in place? At many levels, you can't even find that out in their logs.
Right.
So
yeah, which is another problem. So they make you pay for that extra level of service. I think they recently might have changed some of that.
That's possible. Because of the attacks on government accounts. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a crazy one. He's making some money on insider trading. And they figured it out. Mr. Westbrook, a UK citizen, I think, is who he was, too.
Yeah.
Was doing this. In other news, I have something about Kia. The folks at Kia had an app that was being leveraged by another UK citizen.
Oh, no.
UK hacking group. And they were able to, if you had a Kia, they were able to use the tools and actually geolocate your car. They could turn it on or off. They could lock it or unlock it and even honk the horns. And so basically they were able to get access to this. Basically, if they had the person's license plate number, they could leverage this, you know, back end of a dealership app to really get into these systems. Now, number one, you know, we're all connected now. These cars are all connected. There's APIs that are there for over the air updates and software updates, and I guess Kia has quote unquote patched this. But the point is these manufacturers have access to our cars, right? If you think about it. So be aware that the more connected these cars are, there could be some benefits and some disadvantages. I'm sure everyone saw the whole thing with that Honda Pilot that was running at 113 miles an hour with the kid inside. Did you see that story?
I did not. Wow. You got to tell me about that.
It was all over the news. He was the car just would not stop. It was like stuck in some sort of autopilot mode where it was doing 113 miles that you couldn't brake. You couldn't stop. He was flying down the highway and a police officer bravely literally got in front of his car and let it bang into it so that it would actually think that the car itself would think it's in some sort of accident and slow down by itself, which eventually he had to really put on the brakes and have the car, I guess, really bang into him to slow it down. But Honda says they're going to have to look at this. But this is, again, back to autopilot, all these auto whatever that are in our system, in our cars. The more you think about this program and what we talk about all the time, you know, the technology is great until it's not, until you happen to be stuck in a car driving 119 miles an hour and you can't stop it.
Right.
And so, you know, there's going to be great things that come down the pike here with automation and and technology, and there's also going to be these days. So we'll see what happens with that car, but I don't like that you can have that happen to you and your car just takes over because you put it up, you know, even my wife's minivan, I can have it drive down the highway and turn and corner just like a Tesla and do its own thing. And it takes care of the speed and braking. And if that goes haywire, that would be a bad day.
Yeah. And I'm sticking with the car that I have because it doesn't have any internet connectivity. I don't even know if I would want it in a new car.
Well, that's the thing. That's the craziness, right? You know, we're going to, you know, those of us who are just going to stick around with a kickstart lawnmower kind of thing, we don't have to worry about the lawnmower killing us, you know, that kind of thing. Who knows? What else you got there, Dennis, you want to bring up?
I wanted to bring up some Windows updates that were just deployed to Windows 11 computers.
Oh, yeah? I heard
they are very bad. There's a particular KB update that is causing havoc on some Windows 11 computers. It's causing hardware issues. Bluetooth devices fail. Other kinds of peripherals fail. And we at TAB actually dealt with at least one computer with an issue with this update. And I haven't really finished going over it, but it looks like we're going to have to do a wipe and a reload on the computer because of it.
Because of the update.
Yeah, because the update was installed. We did remove it, but whatever it did to the operating system has caused some of the hardware to fail. It doesn't even get recognized as part of the computer. And it's very, very odd. But it has to be this particular update, and there's all kinds of reports of problems from it. It's bad enough that Microsoft put that on their rollback list so that if you reboot the computer enough times, it will be triggered to know that that update needs to be removed, and it will roll it back on its own for you so that you, as a user, don't need to do something to remove it.
But when you say enough times, Dennis, that reminds me of the whole CrowdStrike issue where if you rebooted the server not once, not twice, but 15 times.
Yeah, it's similar to that. Itself. It is similar to that.
So thanks, Microsoft. You already know your update breaks my hardware, and I can reboot the computer X number of times before you'll say, all right, we'll take it off. That's just crazy to me when it comes to Microsoft. You know, you'd think... If it knows it's got the update and you have it, just pull it off. But it's assuming that you're rebooting all the time because your computer's not working is what they're guessing. I don't even understand why it's connected to reboot.
I don't know. I wish I understood it. But it's part of their automated update deployment system. It's built into the code in the computer.
Right. So if your machine if it survives long enough to not have it completely broken, it'll remove it after X number of reboots.
Yep. And and I mean, it's the way that that update really wrecked this particular computer that I saw was insane. It really was.
Well, I know we're going to go to break pretty soon, probably, but real quick, Microsoft to start charging for Windows 10 updates next year. Ooh. Businesses can expect to pay shockingly high sums for a subscription to Windows 10 extended security updates. Educators will be a little cheaper for you guys. But so we all know, well, if you listen to this program, Windows 10's end of life next October. And if you want to stick with Windows 10 because you don't want to go to 11, and why would you not want to go to 11? Oh, Dennis just gave you a reason. you can go ahead and spend basically $427 per PC for a 3-year subscription to continue to run Windows 10 for 3 more years. So $427 for the privilege of Microsoft sending you security updates to patch their their holy system that needs to be patched so the bad guys don't break into it. They're going to charge you $427, or you can upgrade to Windows 11 that if it breaks your system, you can reboot it X number of times to have it roll back.
Get fixed.
Those are free patches. So I'll put that, we'll put the link up there for you too if you want to see that. But if you're a business, you're stuck between a rock and Microsoft.
Uh-huh, that's right.
So welcome to our world.
And I think it's time for a break.
We'll step up for a quick break. Feel free to get online, guys. 860-522-WTIC is the number. We'll be right back.
Back here at Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Dennis.
Hey, I'm Eric. Little silence over there. We got Carolyn. That's probably like a one-armed paper hanger down there, isn't she?
Yeah, she's really holding down the fort here.
So I'm not in studio. Dennis is driving the bus, and... we're going to be here until 11 o'clock taking your computer calls, comments, questions, and concerns. So feel free to get online. Do we have any open lines there, Dennis?
We have 4 open lines. So please call in if you have a question or a concern or just want to talk tech. We're here for you.
And coming up also at the top of the hour, we'll have our first AI corner.
Yeah.
Where Bob and Karen are going to be giving you some stories that we selected for them to do a quote-unquote deep dive on. So basically, it's like the top of the hour of our regular program, but we're going to have Bob and Karen do what we do and then chat about it. And it just cracks me up that we're going to have artificial intelligence talking about technology and where we've come.
It's just so meta, isn't it?
It is. So that's going to be crazy. But yeah, feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. No matter where you are on the planet, feel free to give us a ring and we'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. As we wait for calls, did you have anything you wanted to bring up, Dennis?
I do. Well, while we're on the subject of updates that break stuff, a Samsung update is breaking some Galaxy S10 and Note 10 phones.
Oh, no.
And a few other of their devices, but it's mostly that grade, that model. It's a few years old now. I think it's like 4 years old. I used to have an S10e, and I just replaced it a few months ago. And it was a great phone when I had it, but I like the 24 Plus that I have now. But apparently these updates, which are still being rolled out, Samsung is still releasing updates for, even 4 and 5 year old phones. So you got to give them some credit for that. But these devices are getting bricked and there doesn't seem to be any easy way out of it other than to do a factory recovery.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So you kind of have to start over with your phone.
And, well, the other thing is, if you haven't configured the backup of your phone, that's going to be bad news. And we've had callers call in over the years talking about not being able to get their contacts and their emails and their phone and their pictures even.
Right.
So if you get a bricked phone, you have two choices, probably to bring it into the shop and hope you get lucky with the Samsung folks you're going to be working with.
Yep.
And or you just do a recovery right from the backup you set up. So we would recommend you set up your backup of your phone, have it go to the cloud, whichever cloud is out there, whether it be your Google Cloud or your Samsung Cloud or your Apple Cloud. But be sure you have a good password and 2FA on that cloud.
Yeah.
Because that's the easiest place to get access to your data, because your phone is a lot harder. Usually requires some sort of PIN or physical second factor to get in, whereas the cloud is basically just a password. And if you haven't turned on 2FA and your password is ice cream, they're going to get right in. So keep that in mind.
Yeah, we have looks like we have a call. Joe from Wethersfield.
Sounds good. Hey,
oh,
Joe.
Oh, wait a minute. No, Joe from Simsbury.
Oh, gotcha. Lots of Joes. Hey, Joe, you there? Any luck there, Dennis, bringing up Joe?
Oh, here we go. Joe, are you there? Hello. Well, I got the call up here.
Hi.
All right. Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
Hi, Joe.
We can hear you.
Okay.
What can we do for you?
Okay. So about a year ago, when I tried to sign in, when I go into eBay, I get this Google sign in to eBay with Google.
Okay.
And there was a come up, and there'd be an X in it. And starting yesterday, that box comes up and it doesn't allow me to exit it.
Oh.
And I called eBay and asked them about it, and they said they never heard anything about it. And I can't believe that Google would be popping up on eBay and they don't know about it.
Well, they may be using Google as what they call an identity source or an identity authentication handler.
Yep.
Yeah, can you hear us, Joe?
Did you hear what I said?
Yes, we did.
Joe, are you there?
Okay. Any suggestions of getting rid of that box popping up?
All right. It looks like you're getting something from Google when you're trying to log into eBay. Is that what it was doing?
Yes. I can't hear you.
Huh. Hey, Carolyn, he can't hear Dennis, but he can hear me. That would be a Carolyn thing, Dennis. Because I can hear you. Do you get that fixed, Carolyn? Because I think basically you have to bring up the call so that this doesn't happen. Go ahead.
I don't. Okay. I I think right. I just hung up.
No, I can hear him.
All right.
So go ahead and answer the question.
Well, what I was going to say is eBay is using Google as an authentication source and an identity right. source.
I can hear one of you, not the other.
All right.
Yeah.
eBay and Google are working together to identify you. Now, why there would be a window on your screen that you can't get rid of, I am not sure. I don't know why that would happen. It would have to do with the scripting of the login process. And there
can you still hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Why don't you pot him down? He can't hear you, Dennis. It's some sort of issue with the scripting. Joe, we're thinking how eBay has configured that login process. You're not able to hear Dennis's answer.
No.
But I can hear you, and you can hear me. So there's something wrong with Dennis. So I think he can't bring up the calls Carolyn has to going forward.
Search this on the internet, and they say you have to have a Google account to do it. I don't have right. one, and I need one. So,
well, right. So can you sign in then without it?
Well,
are you able to get your sign in to work?
Well, you know, after I wait for a minute or two, then that box will disappear.
Oh, okay.
And I can sign in, but I have to wait. But I don't understand that eBay doesn't know about Google popping up in it. They got to have some sort of an agreement.
Of course they do.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not even in question.
They can't believe you don't have a Google account.
Well, last I knew, you could still have an eBay
my
account.
My age, 78. I don't use much of the technology. I do a lot of searching and looking up right. stuff, but as much as anything else.
Well, I thought you could still set up an account directly with eBay with your own email address and not use Google or Microsoft or any
yeah.
other authentication.
I think that's what he's
source.
Doing, Dennis. I think that's what he's doing. Well, he's using his own account.
Right, but I wonder if he may have clicked on the option to log in with Google, and that's why this window has come up, and there's nothing for him to put in there.
Yeah, that's possible.
Yeah. So what I would do is go back to eBay, the eBay website, and try to log in again and only avoid whatever the option is to use Google to log into it. I'm not sure what you're seeing on your screen that's telling you that, but just avoid it and log in with your own account.
You catch that, Joe?
Well, there's no other way because it blocks my sign-in. That's the problem.
It blocks
your sign-in.
It blocks
it.
Now it blocks it.
Yeah.
With this new box, it blocks it out.
Yeah. He has to wait for it to disappear after 2 minutes. Unless you hit the upper right-hand corner, it's got to be a little way to close that little box. So, it's
I've
a feature, Joe.
Many times to figure out how to get rid of it, and eventually they just say that unless you have a Google account, you can't go in there and do it.
Gotcha. All right. Then we're not going to be able to fix it, I don't think, for you. It's really an eBay issue.
It would definitely
okay,
have to be an
figured.
eBay issue.
That's what
it has to be.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you. Sorry for the technical issues. We're working on them.
Okay.
Anybody else
Goodbye.
Up there?
Yes.
Bye-bye.
We have another Joe from Weathersfield.
Ah, a plethora of Joes.
Yes. And I think I've picked him up. Joe, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, magnificent. This line works. for Eric's benefit, it was line one that was giving me problems.
Oh, yes. Line one's always fun.
Well, okay, so here's my issue.
Yep.
All right, I have a Windows, I have Dell computer, a Precision Tower, and I have Windows 10. And of last month, it did an update of three items, one of which was a KB update. And that update worked fine on my two laptops. But there was another update, Intel SCSI adapter. And
SCSI.
I think that caused a problem with the computer because twice now it did that update and twice I had to go and to a restore point to bring the computer back.
Oh.
So it kept rebooting itself and then eventually it found a window that said, you know, for repair. And I tried a number of different things. None of those things worked. So is there a way that I can just download, or I should say not download, but install the Windows update without these SCSI adapter updates.
You should be able to turn off installing optional updates, and I believe that that's where that'll
show
up.
It's not an optional update.
It doesn't. It's not optional.
No, it's not optional. No. Hmm. There's three updates that are all part of this.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of issues out there, Dennis.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. There are issues with this that go back years, actually.
Yeah, and SCSI, okay. I mean, you don't typically find
SCSI adapter 17.1L3.1010, and there's an extension, Intel Corporation extension. And then later on, it says, you know, view optional updates. There's another line.
Okay, so it may be an optional update.
Well, what you might want to do is to go into device manager instead of going back to recovery point, go into device manager, look under storage controllers, and you should find one. And right click on that, go into the properties, click on the driver tab, and click on a button to roll back driver.
Okay.
And it should remember that you want that particular driver once it's rolled back. And it's probably going to tell you you have to reboot for it to take effect, and that's true. So that's what I would do first, and see if it sticks at that driver and doesn't try to update it again.
Okay, I'll try that then.
Yep.
All right, I paused the updates just for a couple of weeks.
Oh, well, that can't hurt either.
I don't want to do that forever.
No. This is only to give Microsoft time to fix that update, because I think they're going to. It just depends on how long it takes them to change it and then deploy a correct update later.
Okay, well, it says Intel, you know, adapters, SCSI.
Yep. Yep, update. That's
from Microsoft as well?
Yes, Microsoft rolls that out as part of Windows.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you very much.
All right, it's time for us to go to a break.
We'll be back.
Four lines wide open.
Okay.
So I'm going to return to some news articles.
Yeah, what do you got there, Dennis?
We were talking a few weeks ago with an electricity expert.
Yeah.
About the need for more juice for more data centers that are handling AI. Well, it turns out that Texas, the state of Texas, has put AI operators on notice that they are going to have to provide their own power because Texas's grid is not big enough for all the companies that are moving in there to run their AI operations.
Not surprised.
Not surprised at all. And this particular article even mentions that Microsoft made a deal that we talked about to get Three Mile Island operating so that they can run their own AI data centers.
What could go wrong with that?
But now everybody that wants to have AI in Texas is on notice that they gotta bring their own juice.
Well, and the thing is, I think there's another article about a Virginia nuclear power plant that now also is trying to come back online, but it's a fixer-upper, as the article talked about. And so, you know, we're always talking about, you know, clean energy, and nuclear is clean. But, of course, there's all these concerns of, you know, meltdowns and stuff like that. And I would hope that we're smarter than we've been. But when you see them turning on Three Mile Island and, you know, fixer-upper nuclear power plants are going to be used, it just kind of makes you start thinking again about how technology keeps going forward the way it does, where everything was set with the password, your admin login and a password was blank, right?
Right.
The same people who are just now saying that Microsoft should actually operate out of a focus of security are just now doing that as we had 8.5 million, you know, Microsoft systems break with an update. So it makes me a little nervous, right, that they're going to be powering up these old clunky nuclear power plants because they want to run AI so we can have these ding-dong AI Karen and Bob do these deep dives for you. It's just – it's like, what do we do to ourselves? You know, cryptocurrency, just as stupid, right?
Yeah.
Uses so much energy and power to run fake money because you guys think it's worth something. And It's just like a tulip, for crying out loud. A tulip bulb, right? It's the same right. thing.
It is.
You know, at least a tulip bulb gave you a flower.
That's true.
and you can make more tulip bulbs, right? I mean, cryptocurrency is counterproductive. So I don't know. So Texas is saying come up with it yourself. And I kind of like that, right?
So
build
do I.
State-of-the-art plants. That's great.
Yeah, I was thinking, right on, brother.
You know, get some nice new brand new plants. Don't be powering up these old clunkers. I mean, if they can make them work and safely make them work, that's great, I guess. But what I worry about is they're going to rush to it. And we may have more problems than we were planning on. So interesting. So Texas says, come up with it yourself. I love
right.
it.